Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 164. This is part two, God's Hope for Feeble Saints. Today is Sunday, September 12th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop Pastor Paul's Mall online, groceries at vons.com. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to go to pastorpaul.org and check out the interactive links at the top of the homepage. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast, where you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to join us every week on Friday for part one and on Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. This is the lineup for the month of September. How's your own vineyard? God's Hope for Feeble Saints. Beware of the evil tongues of lying lips. The fork in the road. We'll have a great month of September, the beginning of fall, beautiful in Minnesota. If you come here to visit, be sure to give us a call at Pastor Paul's. God bless you and have a great month.
Oh, God, deliver me. He will if you allow him. He will, he will, he will, if you allow him. See, there is more to this than ourselves. Oh, if we could get off dead center in ourselves right now. But oh, what a blessed thing that we are weak. Because when we're strong, we are mean. God, we're mean. We are so mean and we are so cantankerous, we can't stand anybody. We don't want to hear the word. We don't want to hear any preaching. We don't want to be dedicated. We don't want to do anything. We are mean. Well, you're not that way. I am. I'm talking mean. When we don't recognize that our weakness, and it's a blessed gift from God. I think it is a very blessed thing to be weak, and before any great move, God will weaken you with everything there is to bring you to that humble point of surrender so you're able to do the job. They do that in the service before they get you ready for any kind of thing. They weaken you. Now they don't do it anymore. Now you can have shoulder length hair. But I remember when we first went in, man, you had bowl haircuts, everybody. Pie tins. You were weakened and then built up to what thee wanted. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You are weakened. You are taken away from what you did, your, jive. And your hair is all cut the same. And you walk through the same line to get the same clothes that don't fit. And you are humiliated and you are humbled and you will climb up a pole out there and say, I'm a goonie bird because you didn't eat right. And it will break you so that you're able to receive. And then they start to give you medals and honors and so on like that and build you up into what they want. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is basic training right here. Oh, some of us, you ain't going to tell me nothing. Oh, yes, 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 yes. There is more coming. And the more that you put it off, the harder it will be. Say amen. Are you hearing this today? Oh, what a blessed thing. And if you can say, I have no strength, this text is for you. Otherwise, it's not for you. You can turn it off. But next, I believe the things mentioned here in our text are not only weak, but they are worthless. People all over will pick up, oh, I had this one guy, and he had all these buttons. I said, where do you get all these buttons? And oh, I pick him up here, and his whole body and all his clothes and hat and everything were just full of buttons. I thought, what a bunch of junk. No pencils. And one guy I talked to the other day came in. He was working on our machine downstairs. He's a young man. Working on that Mita copier. And he came in and he said, I called up and says, look, this looks like a lot of trouble. I can't get this thing to focus. There's a big trouble down here, big trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. He says, I'm just going to take a long time. And I said, you know something? I says, I think it's something simple. And I went back in my office and I come back out again. And I said, well, what did you find? He says, well, it's take me too long to describe it. And I says, then I know right now that was something simple. And I started laughing. He started laughing. He says, you know what it was? It was the cord that went underneath the lens there. The inside, a little piece of cord went under it so it wouldn't focus. But it humbled him so that he was open then to receive ministry. And I says, even out of this stupid thing, you learn something. Now somebody else will call and say, I just can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. And you'll say, well, your cord inside there, that cord it hangs in, that connector is underneath the glass, and so it won't focus. And the guy will say, no, that ain't so. You say, yes, it is. Take a look. Oh, you're right. Well, now you got some kind of wisdom out of a very simple thing. So I said, what's great? And what isn't great? Well, that's great that you found that out. I mean, why don't you share that? Because it wouldn't give you glory and honor. I said, that's the way we are. So we had a real good time. But anyway, going on with this, he started telling me about the things he collects. I collect all kinds of mirrors. Not any kind of mirror, beautiful mirrors. Well, if you look in them and you like yourself, then they're beautiful. As far as I know, one mirror is as good as another, you know what I mean? Oh, God. And, you know, God has ways that, and I know I'm going to be able to minister to that young man when I see him next time. But you see, the weak things and the weak ones are sacred to God, not the strong ones and they're stiff-legged. God, you're so mean. What's the outcome of being like that? Ulcerated. Nervous, twitch gut. I mean, it's miserable being like that. It's miserable being strong. I'm the boss. Go ahead. Who needs it? Oh, take a rest. Just allow God to be stronger than you are once in your life. Oh, but what a weak thing is so sacred to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has made it such. God comes, and He is weak. And He is meek and mild, and He's all these things, and He has no word. You said it, Isabel, all He said. When confronted. And He does it. I'm talking about God. But next, the things mentioned, I believe, in our text are not only weak, I said, but worthless. But anyway, these pins that guy had, they had some kind of a value. Yeah, I suppose they're valuable to somebody. Or these old records, they have some kind of a value. But I have never heard in the whole of my lifetime any people who would pick up bruised reeds. Have you? Let's go out and get some bruised reeds. Why? Because they are worthless. Have you ever heard anybody going out and gathering up smoking flax? Who'd want it? It's offensive. It stinks. No one would want, yes, no one would want either one, a bruised reed or a smoking flax. Well, then, people, in our own estimation, there are many of us who are worthless things. What's that song? Without a plea, dee 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 dee. La da 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 dee. There was a time when you thought yourself to be the very best people in the world. Oh, God, I'm so upright. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy born on the 4th of July, God. I love my country. Huh. And you go to the football games and you stand up and you're so proud. And that's all right. And you'd even argue and say, I am good. And you thought yourself to be something wonderful. Extremely worthy of God's love and regard and respect. But now you feel worthless. Did you ever feel worthless? That's a good place to be. Then you can relate with people. Did you ever feel totally worthless? I remember sitting in a bar, and several times sitting in a bar, and totally drunk and feeling totally worthless. And I'd keep my arms glued into my side because it smelled so bad, and people next to me would probably pass out. Yeah. Totally worthless. Maybe you misused someone, and then later on, probably... You heard they died, and you thought, oh, God, I feel so worthless. Why did I do that to that person? Why wasn't I better? Why wasn't I nice? Why? Did it ever happen to you? You just feel totally worthless? It's a good place to be. Totally worthless to feel that way. Oh, hey, this is not positive preaching. I am the righteousness of a God in Christ. Well, you say it wrong, no. You say it wrong. Well, it's got the wrong emphasis on. I am. It's almost I am. I am the great I am. I am God. But who would want a bruised reed or a smoking flax? And who would save them by the dozens, pray tell? Maybe you're wondering whether God wants you at all. You ever wonder that? Maybe you're wondering whether you're ever saved. Maybe you are so despicable listening on the radio, so worthless, You say, what good am I? I am doing nothing. I mean, I mean, the preacher does something, and the choir does something, and all these other people are doing something, but I don't do anything. What good am I? Maybe you're getting ready to throw a gun up to your head and blow your brains out. But what good am I? Of what service am I? And people call me all the time with that. What earthly good am I? I'm no good for nothing. Everything I do, it falls apart. But you might ask the same question here. What use is a bruised reed? Can you lean on it? Can you strengthen yourself with it? Can you? Shall it support a house? No, it is of no service. And then what about the smoking flax? Can you see by it? Can you read by it? Can you? No, it's useless. And that's how you talk to yourself. You are good for nothing. And so you are these things, but Christ Jesus will not throw you away because you are of no value. And besides, you don't know what God's going to use you for anyway. You're in a position now where God can shape you and mold you and use you. But I also know in the body of Christ there are those who seem worthless. There's a lot of people that seem worthless. You do all you can, but when you've done everything, it's nothing. No, you didn't do that right. Well, it's pretty good, but no. Didn't I tell you that? I told you to put these A boxes over here. And you put the B boxes over there. And A, well, at least they're moved from down there. Excuse me, just go on and do something else. It seems like everything you do, it doesn't. You're always doing it wrong. Point is, you did it. I remember years ago, I was telling Steve, I said, Steve, I don't care what kind of grades you get in school, as long as you do the best you can do. And so then, as his testimony, he never missed any school. To my knowledge, he never missed a day. And when he went to work and worked for the, and I'm just bragging you up, you can, other people can brag you up, that's okay. To my knowledge, when he worked at the cafe up there, Country Kitchen, he never missed one day in 3 years. So I think we can encourage each other, just do the best you can do. Don't you think so? Don't get all mad and bent out of shape because somebody put A boxes over on B box side. Oh, God. At least they're moved from the back of the building to the front of the building. That's something, isn't it? But maybe you're thinking, oh, if I could only be like Paul of the Bible or John of the Bible or Mark or Peter or one of those people of the Bible, I would be safe. No. Jesus said, I will not quench useless flax, nor break the useless bruised reed. And listen now, don't use this, you sluggards, for an excuse to do nothing. The text is for those who can't do anymore, not for those who will not do anymore. Oh, there's a lot of things we can do. And although these things are offensive, a bruised broken reed is offensive. It can't be used for any kind of a musical pipe, can it? It would spoil the music, and that's the way it is with some people. Oh, here comes the music spoiler. And the smoking flax that's talked about here is noxious. But you say, Pastor Paul, you go so low. Listen, listen carefully. If God has humbled you, you know very well what I am talking about. You know that you are just as offensive to your own soul and just as offensive as the bruised reed would be to the pipes or as the smoking flax to the eyes and to the nose. Listen, people, if you have truly seen your own heart, just one one-thousandth of it, And of all of its wickedness, this text is for you. And I imagine many of you hear this message, and a lot of people are listening. Maybe a whore is listening to it right now on the radio. Or a whoremonger, or an adulterer, or a perverted folks, or thieves, or murderers. People who loathe themselves. Yeah, Jesus says to you, listen out there, over there at the prison. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You out there that have committed secret crimes of all sorts and have no comfort and have no sleep, you that are sick from the fear that someone might find out, you that are afraid that your sins will be published up in heaven, I have a word for you, comfort, comfort, comfort all the way. Don't be depressed, because Jesus said he will not quench the smoking flax, he will not break the broken reed, glory to God. And yet people listen. Both these articles, however useless, may be of some service. When God's hand touches a man that's useless, oh boy, what he can do with it. He can make him so valuable. Oh, in the end, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise, and it's happening all the time right now. I mean, that raw material that is useless from the start. Oh, it's just like gold in a rock. Now, you see, you go up to one of these great big old boulders, and it's got gold in it. You can't strap that around your neck. It's got to be chipped and chiseled and taken out of there, and it's got to be put into a fiery pot, and it's got to come out of the refiner's fire, and it's got to be shaped into something and then put around your neck. It's got to be made over by the workman. It's got to be made over and fashioned. And then when Jesus mends the bruised reed, he will pipe a tune for us in heaven. Have you ever seen a bruised reed and they're all bent over and they're bruised and all of a sudden... And people look around and they say, you know what? That was that old bruised reed, and God's glory is on that man. And now look at him. He is an obedient service to the Lord. When this bruised reed sounds off with the orchestra, someone will look out there and say, that was a bruised reed. Do you believe it? Mary Magdalene's voice is in heaven. What a beautiful sound it must make. Whore of whores. Paul, the murderer of Christians. And David, the murderer of a friend to gain his wife. And Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. God melted them through circumstances. And they allowed it. I think of Samson lying there after that God's used him in his glory, and he had pushed over the pillars led by a little boy out into the arena of the grape-eating, besmeared, lamb's fat-faced people out there enjoying perversion. And when the columns went down and they walked over to him and they said, wait, he's saying something. And they started to pull the rubble off him. They said, what's that you're saying, Samson? Samson, he says, mine eyes have beheld the glory of the Lord. Almost went out, bull, but not quite. And so do you say you are good for nothing? You know, smoking flax, you backslider Christian, a spark can start the whole continent on fire, and it can start you on fire for the Lord again. Now let's close it up here with the divine compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bruised reed, listen, he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. And notice, first of all stated, and then I must tell you that Jesus Christ means a great deal more than he says here. First, he very plainly says like this, a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed is before me, a child of God under deep sin, and it seems as if the whip of the law might beat them to death. The Lord lightens up your cry. Maybe you can't sleep. Maybe you say, my sins follow me to bed and haunt me. My heart is about to break. My sins follow me night and day. Listen, bruised reed, he will not break you. But conviction is so strong, he will not break you. He will melt you and make you to fall down at the Lord Christ's feet. He will do that. But he shall not be too strong that he will break you and utterly cast you out. Never. You will never be driven to utter despair. Never. No, you shall be delivered in that trial. Praise the Lord in that trial. It says, give God thanks in all things, not for all things, in all things. You're going to come out of the fire and you're going to come out refined. Oh, and there are so many people that suffer with themselves. My God, they suffer with themselves. They get up in the morning and they suffer and suffer. And they look in the mirror and they suffer and they suffered all day long. Stop! God will not break you. He will not bruise you. He will not put you out. Maybe you're a backslider and years before you were on fire for God. But don't let pride hold you back because you were something and now you feel like nothing. You're in a wonderful position right now to really do a work for God. Maybe God took you back a couple of steps so that you could be right for Him. Now you are a smoking flax. You are afraid God will put you out. And some legalist will sure come up and tell you that, yes, God has put you out. And though it says in the Bible you are only smoking, you shall not die. Whatever your crimes, the Lord says, whatever your crimes, return ye backsliding children of men, and I will have mercy upon you. He's saying, come on back, prodigal son, pull yourself out of the hog slop and return to sender, return back home. Who sent him out there into the world? God did. He wanted to go, and the Father says, here's your money, then go, in relation to God. He says, well, then go out there. Isn't there a song like that? Return to sender, return, huh? And he says, I will not break, and he means like this, I will take it and plant it by the rivers of water. I will create a miracle. I will make it grow like a tree that birds will harbor in its branches. I will water it every minute. I will guard it jealously. I will watch it. I will tenderly love it. There shall be heavenly fruit upon it, and I will keep the birds of prey from it, but the birds of heaven, the songsters of paradise, shall live in its very branches. When he says like this, a bruised reed he will not break, he means more. Are you bruised today? Are you a bruised reed out there today? Well, then glory to God. It's wonderful. He means I will nourish you and I will help you and I will strengthen you and I will justify you and I will glorify you. I will execute my commission upon it. I will make it glorious forevermore. Now, are you feeling like that? When he says to the backslider, I will not quench him, he means more than that. He means more than that. He means my Holy Spirit will breathe, will blow upon you that smoking flax and cause a flame. Like when you're down there by the campfire and you go camping and you get down there and it's just about ready to go out and you throw some kindling on there. And up the flames come. See, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Oh, yes, God will not utterly destroy you. He'll gently blow upon the coals of His love, speaking from the Song of Solomon's, and He'll cause a roaring fire. Okay, now to close for the little face, the little children of God, called the smoking flax. Bruised reeds are just as safe as the great saints of God. Because their standing is in God. A great, huge saint in God, and here is a smoking flax or a bruised reed over here. They're just as great as this person over here. Because the little saint is just as much God's elect as the bigger ones. When God elects before the foundations of the world were even founded, that's like when I was a kid and you had several marbles. There were several marbles, but each one of those marbles was important in that bag. You had the great big steelies. How many played marbles? You had the steelies and you had all these other little marbles in there. They were all part of the bag. And when you went out, you picked up that little bag of marbles. Each one had a purpose. And it's the same way with God's elect. Before the foundation of the world was even founded, God had His elect, and they all were gathered together right then and there. It's a mystery, but they were all gathered right then and there. Great and small and tall and fat and bald and hairy people and all that kind of thing. They were all gathered at once. There is not one that's greater than another. God is no respecter of people. When He called you and He elected you, you are all one in the family of God. It doesn't matter where you're the greatest evangelist that ever lived or whether you're down in the church cleaning toilet bowls. Glory to God, it's God's elect, and they're all great in His sight, and God is no respecter of persons, and you all belong to the body of Christ. See, He paid the price for us all, didn't He? The poor tried saint, they're all justified, every one of you. That's the message of the day. I know that I am completely justified. Do you? Oh, yes, I've heard that. Hey, you better be happy about it, because Jesus is coming. And it says He's going to come, and He's going to come with a rod, just about up here somewhere, one of these days, and it says you are going to be raptured right out here. Well, that's going to be something, ain't it? But see, we can get so dead and we don't believe it. Better believe it. Let me close with this. You cut your finger. You don't cut it off. Throw it away. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. You are going to have to suffer with one another, all that are of the body of Christ. That's where it's going to come down to. Brothers and sisters are going to have to suffer with one another. Now, I know you have a lot of problem out there on the radio suffering with yourself, and the reason you do it is because you're not made to suffer for yourself. You're made to suffer for somebody else. Did you hear that? That's somebody arguing with me on the radio. But are you hearing this? He will not cast you out. The coming of the Lord is right around the corner. Opportunity upon opportunity is knocking at our doors right now. Don't get your eyes on tomorrow. How about putting them on right now? How are you feeling? Oh, God, let's get down to the now right now. Can I say one word about now, now? How are you feeling right now? Now, I'm not talking about how you felt before you came. I'm not talking about how you felt a minute ago or how you like me or how you like the person next to you. It has nothing to do with it. The question here is, how are you feeling right now? Are you feeling like a bruised reed or a smoking flax? Good. Now you are ready for God to deliver you. Are you hearing it? Are you feeling that way? How many feel that way once in a while? Good. Good. I'm dealing with people now, I am telling you. Oh, hey, all over. I mean, people are coming here. This is the first of the month. We had what? 300 and some people down here for dinner at the first of the month. And you know what? They are open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the elderly people coming in here, I believe that that dinner that we're having here is going to be the biggest in the country. It is growing. And it's a wonderful opportunity to minister to senior citizens that have never heard about Jesus Christ. And you know what I'm finding? Sometimes when you talk about these things, it just bores people out of their natural minds. They don't want to hear it. Why? Oh, God is going to break you. Something's got to happen, folks, and I'll tell you, I know where I'm coming from. You will have to be broken. Say amen. You're in a wonderful place to be broken, the north side. If I've ever learned anything, I've learned it down here, and it is the hard way, and it is the only way to learn. The only way to fly. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? What does that mean? That means if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. It's a simple message. Is there anyone that doesn't know Jesus? You can know him today. Maybe I can lead you to the Lord today. I could drop dead before I get out of here. Better, don't take chances. Might not be here next Sunday. Maybe you won't be here next Sunday. You look out there, oh, where's so-and-so? Oh, they died. And it says in the Bible, that, well, that's actually all people think about when you die. They think about you, they go by your casket and they say, oh, he was such a one, and he can be the meanest people in the world. Say, wasn't he a wonderful guy? I just loved him so much. Oh, he had his ways, he was cantankerous, but wasn't he a nice guy? Where are you going to go eat? That's it. Lower him in the ground and shovel the dirt on and let's go on. That's the way it should be. Otherwise, you'd be standing at the grave there. But don't think too highly of yourself and don't get all wrapped up in how you feel. God, I can't go. Life is mean and bad. I'm so sick of it. Well, you won't be sick long. You'll die too. Yeah. It's the truth, ain't it? You will die. Some of our friends have died. Fell over dead. What happened to him? They died. The Bible says it goes on and on about this person. And he was a king and a great king and a mighty king. And then it says at the very end, it says, and he died. And it goes on to the next person. And so his son, so-and-so, goes on. And then he died. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know it. Go with your tears.